Thanks, team. Yes. That was delightful. Yes. That's so good. Well, good to see you. Labor Day Sunday. I always thought that should be the name for Mother's Day. I just had that thought there, but sort of worked. I want to tell you a story this morning. Apparently, it's a true story. It's out of history books. You can check it out. But there was a Greek general, and he's fighting some bad guys. Names don't really matter at this point. But this Greek general marched his army to a hillside. Lovely hillside. They would have had the high ground, but there was a cliff right behind it. Sheer cliff. And so he ordered the army to be set there, and the enemy is close behind them. And his second in command comes to him and says, "General, I don't think this is a good spot, respectfully. I don't think it's a good spot, because if there's no place for us to retreat to." And the general said, "Exactly. The enemy will know that, but more importantly, our men will know it and will fight accordingly. No place to go. You fight differently than if there's a place of retreat." I don't know about you, but I'm getting that feeling in me about the time in the history that we're in right now. There's this kind of an anxiety level that's growing. I spoke about it a little bit last week, but pressures are coming from every side on us, on Christians. You know, we're being systematically portrayed as the haters by politically correct groups. Can I say that? And it's putting us in a terrible spot. We are pushed from one side by people that are way out on the grace side, and we're being pushed on another side by within our camp, within our Christian persuasion, pushed by another side that's so wrapped up in the Old Testament and keeping the laws that it pushes us there too. And so people are pushing at us from every side. And then we hear about, I don't have time to go into them. If you hear something that you don't know about, Google it. Please. But, you know, the things that are happening in CERN, Switzerland, and they're going to fire up the Large Hadron Collider and maybe open a portal for the demonic to jump out. Maybe it's true. I don't know. I'm not trying to make fun of it. I'm just saying that if you get wrapped up in that, it's worrisome. Darkness is descending upon the land, and yet we see advances in other things. You know, we see, you know, never have we been able to live longer, more healthily. We're becoming more and more aware of what is good health and what's bad health, and what will facilitate those things. And knowledge is increasing exponentially. And with that, with knowledge, comes responsibility. What do I do with all of that? Drive you crazy. You need peace. You need the Prince of Peace. And that's what he wants us to do. I don't know how many of you regularly see 11:11 on your clocks. Do you see that? Yeah. Yeah. That's, look up Isaiah 11:11 sometime. It's God reaching out a second time to the remnant. Will you hear me? Will you pay attention to me? Is that an amen? That's what he's doing. And so, coming down upon us very quickly, woo-hoo-hoo, is a time when the fourth of four blood moons is going to happen. What that could mean, I don't know. We've talked about it before, but it's coming in a month, less than a month. The time of the Shemitah, the seven-year cycle, is upon us next week. The harbinger. All of these things are very popular, and the people that are embracing it are pushing in. What on earth are we to do? What do we do? And so, as a spiritual leader, I place my prayers before God, and I try to be as eloquent as possible as I go to him. I get on my knee and I say, help. I don't know what to do here. And last week he told me it's all about the voice. Listen to the podcast if you want to know about that. But this week, it's about the same sort of thing. You know, we're being pushed up against this place where there is no retreat. If you're a Christian, they're coming gunning for you. We're the bad guys. You know, this week it was terrible. You know, we're known in throughout the world as a Christian nation. Right? And a little boy washed up on shore, and it's Canada's fault. The Christian nation's fault as this little boy died. Very sad. There is a Muslim fighting Muslim battle happening, and no Muslim nations are taking in, the Gulf nations are not taking in one refugee. Not one. And yet it's our fault because we're a Christian nation. Does it feel like we're being set up? It does to me. So set up by whom and for what? I don't have any answers for you. But I do have an answer about what we need to do and what it is that I think God's calling us to. It's all about him. There is not this cosmic battle of the devil versus God, and who's gonna win? And I read the last chapter and we win. You know, that's the Bob Mumford thing. But it's not about that. The devil is not an adversary to God. If God wants him gone, he's gone. Like in a heartbeat. Not even a second thought. It's not that battle. It's God, the devil challenged God, and God put people on the earth, which was his domain. Fickle people with free choice to take God's side and do the battle. Now that's amazing. He chose us to do this wonderful thing. It's a battle that's been won already because Jesus won it.
Yes, thank you.
2,000 years ago. We're in the victory side of it, but we just don't know that yet. We don't live like we know it. But it isn't a battle between God and the devil. That is not the battle. If you think that, you have too small a God picture. The devil is very small compared to God. Huh. So what do we do? It is time for us to draw near to God. Like never before. It is time for God to be with us. Like, I spent most of the day Friday just to be with him. And to see what he'd say to me. And you know what? The profound sense I had when I left his presence on Friday was, I felt like he said to me, I want some friends. He said, I have lots of servants, but I have very few friends. And he wants some friends. In, all the way through the Bible, he has friends, you know? Usually just one every 400 or 500 years. But they lived that long. You know, Moses was his friend. Abraham was his friend. You know, those kind of things. He had friends. What is a friend to God? A friend to God is somebody who does things to be with him, to hang out with him, but also does the things he likes. Sets their hearts about the things that your friend likes. You enjoy doing things with a friend. One of the things that God likes is anybody that serves the poor, God pays attention to. There's lots of other things that God likes that if we want to be his friend, we'll spend some time on those things. You know the saying, the joy of the Lord is your strength?
Amen.
It's not your joy in his presence is your strength. It's the joy of the Lord. It's when he is joyful, you are strong. As a friend, what makes him joyful?
Hallelujah.
What really gets God going? The answer's in the Word. And I'm not giving it to you this morning. It's all about him. But I want to give you some examples of what he promises he'll do. You know, we talked about law and grace last week and what being careful what stopped at the cross, what is changed by the cross, and what goes through the cross unaffected. Well, one of the things that I think goes through without being affected is those if-then situations.
Yes.
If you will do this, then I will do this. Cause and effect sort of situations, right? Isaiah 58 is one of my favorite examples of cause and effect. And so let me read that. Isaiah 58, starting in verse 6. Now, it starts with, is this not the fast? And it's not really about fasting. God's saying, I'm more interested in compassion than sacrifice.
Yes.
He says it twice in Matthew. More interested in compassion than sacrifice. It's not about you missing a meal. You putting a meal aside. It's not about that. It's way bigger than that. Just like all of the law became so much bigger in the New Testament. We talked last week about the commandment, thou shalt not kill. And that's a good one to keep, okay? Especially if you don't like the sermon. Thou shalt not kill. But Jesus says, you've heard it said that you shouldn't kill, but But if you call someone a fool, then you're inviting hellfire. Fool is way easier to bleat out than to kill somebody. It's a higher level, a deeper arrangement in the New Testament. And our responsibility is deeper because we have grace. The law requires, but grace enables. It enables us to do something that was absolutely impossible before, because He goes with us. He gave us a Holy Spirit to get through what it is that we're going through. And so He starts this off, Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is this not the fast that I choose? It's not about fast, so get past that, okay? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? That's pay attention to your house, your family. If you take care of those things, then, verse 8, then shall your light break forth like the dawn. Amen. And your healing shall spring up speedily. Yes. Your righteousness shall go before you. Yes. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Yes. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger. Okay, you see the picture there is, if you will pay attention to what's important to me, what's important to him is in this partnership we have, this relationship. Grace is dependent on relationship. In this relationship, if we will pay attention to the oppressed and break the yoke, if we will share our bread with the hungry, if we'll pay attention to the homeless and to our families, if we will do that, then, you will have a season of open heaven. Yes. You will have a season where your prayers will be right away answered. And when you're looking for him, he is there. You will have a season of healing. Everything, if you will pay attention to these things, if you will do the things that please your partner, your friend, but right now, probably your master, right? If you will do those things, then God will move in this wonderful way. So, in looking at all of the potentials for things to happen in this next little while, the Shemitah season, the four blood moons, the Harbinger thing, the CERN reactor, all of the things, the World Bank deciding that they're going to issue one world currencies, the taking of the chip, all of that stuff is upon us now. It's not sometime in the future. It is going to be quickly. What do we do? Where do we go? Well, you can prepare if it's in your heart to do that. But more importantly, it's about the relationship that we have with the one that can make a difference.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
It's an amazing thing to work with a God who's already seen the end of it. But he doesn't give us straight answers, in my way of thinking. He gives us relationship answers. Come and see me. Come and talk to me. be with me. Let's work this thing out. And his promise is, this is so cool, because if you go from Isaiah 58 there over to Isaiah 61, they are very close in their hearts, if you would, the thrust of it. This is the passages that Jesus spoke at his first sermon. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to send me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. You see what's happening here? All of those things that he said, if we paid attention to, he's saying he's going to do. He's proclaiming these things. Right? So we, in partnership with him, if we're doing these things, then he says he's to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, and then all of this wonderful stuff that he's going to give. But then he says in verse 4, they shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall rise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities. Who are they? It's not us, because we're seeking him in partnership. It's the ones that were brokenhearted, the ones that were captives. If we do what God called us to do, the city gets rebuilt.
Hallelujah.
It's an amazing thing. God is calling us just to be obedient, and all of the promises that he said to us will be done by the people that we've helped out of gratitude or whatever it is. We rebuild the cities. But it's not, we don't have to do the building. Just like when the people took the promised land, there were houses that the people had not built. There were fields that the people had not planted. Right? Somebody else had done that. And in the same way, they're talking about, if you will pay attention to releasing the captive, if you will pay attention to healing the sick and to restoring families, if you will do those things, then it's Jesus that's doing it, because we are his body. And so he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. We're to do that. And if we will, then they will build the city. And you will see incredible things done. Restoration type things done.
Hallelujah.
It's an amazing, amazing thing. So here's the trick to it all. Here's the little thing that you need to pay attention to. Like, I could stand before you and tell you all of the wonderful stuff and scare the bejeebers out of you. Bejeebers is a Hebrew word. It means hell. That's not true. If I studied about the CERN reactor, if I studied about the Shemitah, and I know a fair amount about that, but if I was to tell you all of those things right now, you would be impressed with me, maybe. But what about God? That's where the answer is. Be it so that you look past me and unto God in all of this, because he is your answer. He is the one. So, how do we go about doing these things in partnership with God? Because here we are, a bunch of people. What good are we? What can we do? What do you do well? The key to the city is in your pocket. It's in your pocket. It's in your pocket. You know what it is? It's what you do well. The territory that you have taken. Well, Pastor, I don't do anything really well. I just don't know how to do anything. I don't have any debt or any great riches or anything like that. You don't have debt. We are the most in debt nation on the face of the earth. Personal debt is huge. Find somebody in debt and give away what you have taken, the ground that you have taken. Show them how to budget, how to shop, how to not get into debt, how to take that territory themselves, and you will be releasing a captive.
Amen.
Pastor, I don't know what to do, but you know, my kids grew up okay. You know how to parent. Find somebody who doesn't know how to parent and give away a little help. Take their kids for a week, overnight, you know, like, that could be weird, I guess. But show them how to parent. Give away what you have. You have taken, every one of you have taken a territory somewhere. Every one of you do something well, and it's different from anybody else. Give that away. You're releasing a captive. You're helping those that are poor in that area. You're changing the atmosphere with what you're doing. You pay attention to those things. If you do this, then God is bound to act.
Yeah.
The key to the city is in your pocket. It's in something you already have. It's in taking the thing that you have already and using that for the kingdom's sake. Isn't that simple? Doesn't that make it available to everybody? You don't have to take years of college or be ready in some other way. It's just about taking what He's already taken you through. A territory that you have already mastered. Maybe you don't feel like you've mastered it, but it's something that you do well. Release someone who's captive in that area.
Yes, Lord.
And we will see an incredible transformation. And then they will build the city. And watch what happens. Pastor Sam, you want to take us into communion?
Wow. Let's just receive that right now, momentarily. Just right where you are, if you want to put your hands in a posture of receiving, I just want to pray something. And so know that the Spirit of God is speaking to us in this, with the movement towards restoring captives. And so, Father, in response to this, we ask that you would begin to show us those areas. Father, you stirred our hearts. We hear your voice. We hear what your Spirit is saying to the churches. And we want to participate in your kingdom. We do not want to partner with fear. We want to move in your kingdom goodness and kindness, knowing that you provide for all of our needs and you will lead us. And you have entrusted to us skills and gift sets, revelation, certain unique understandings. And we pray that that would not end on ourselves, but we would be generous with it and we would give it away. Jesus, as you have opened up your life to us, and we get to celebrate that life today by remembering you and your broken body, shed blood, we pray that we would participate rightly with you, taking on the forgiveness and the reality of your good news. May we share that good news with everyone. Would you speak to us even now, Jesus? Would you speak to us now? about how we can restore. What captives can be released. Oh, we love you, Jesus. If you want to receive that this morning, why don't you say amen?